Hello, everyone. It is Wednesday, June 24th, 2020, and this is Liberty Church Audio. I'm Pastor John, and I have some basics to rethink and remember for days like these. ...2020 has been a crazy year. It still seems to be a crazy and wild year, especially in the last month or so. And as a pastor, I just wanted to remind you of basic truths to think through in days like these. Number one, God is creator. This means many, many things. Namely, though, as creator, he defines reality. We don't. And no, science has not killed God or disproved his creative act. So he is the great narrator. He is the great author of the universe's narrative, and there's no pushing him aside. Number two, all humans are made in the image of God. There's a lot of discussion among theologians about what being made in the image of God means, but it includes the idea that we are his sub-rulers over creation. We are charged with managing it, caring for it, making discoveries that God has put into it, and improving our lot for ourselves and others. This truth underlies all art, science, industry, innovation, and caretaking of the environment. And being made in God's image is the deepest thing I think that we can say about any human. The deepest truth about humans is not their experiences, not their ethnicities, or gender, or culture, or whether we're able or disabled, young, old. The deepest thing about us is that we are the highest created living kind of creature, the closest created thing to God without being God. It's a high position. This is why we shouldn't curse or kill each other. It is also why people from different groups, identities, and backgrounds can still talk to each other, even though we might think we can't, even though listening may be hard. But we are not sealed off from each other in separate universes. If we believe that we are, I think only evil will come of it. Number three, humans are naturally far from God. I'm listening to the story of a man named David Goggins. It's an encouraging story to me as I work on my diet and exercise. The man is an athletic machine. He's also a record holder for chin-ups and an ultra runner. His story reminds me that we are influenced by our surroundings, especially the actions of others. When he was young, his father made his life hell on earth through mental and physical abuse. We cannot deny or dismiss the pain people feel from what others do or even what the physical world throws at us, including viruses, cancer cells, hurricanes, or tornadoes. All those things go into our stories, and people can overcome. But there's also another layer, a deeper layer to life. There is also the garbage we brought into the world when we came. We brought a willfulness and a faithlessness and a willingness to harm others and promote ourselves and protect ourselves. And we brought all that in when we showed up as little packages put in diapers and baby clothes. We carried this internal and destructive baggage into the world when we came. And we had a chip on our shoulder saying, what are you going to do about it? Few people are as bad as they can be, but we are all willful and responsible and need to own up to our stuff. This also is another point of commonality. Number four, redemption is possible. The writer Luke tells the story of a man holding a banquet for Jesus Christ. A large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. These are the outcasts, the despised. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples. So the guys that are in the in-group are complaining. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He said he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to solve the problem of our willful distance from God and to remove the hostility between God and man. He died and rose again, and if we have a change of heart, meaning that we see ourselves in God clearly, getting a good dose of reality and seeing it, then we receive his offer to come on home, trusting him to forgive us because of what Christ did. We can be redeemed. We can be brought back, placed in good standing forever with God in a place of honor. This is another commonality of all humans. No matter their religion, background, sinfulness, experiences, or ethnicity, we're all going to die, but we can all be redeemed. And then the last thing I want to mention is that justice will be served. Number 5. Paul reminded the Athenians that God will judge the world. He has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof of this to all by raising him from the dead. And that's why we are told, vengeance is mine, God says. I will repay. This can keep us from sending resentment back and forth, because God is going to take care of that in a realm of justice. So we do believe that justice should be pursued in this world. It's crucial. God wants it. We want it. And we need to see it in the land of the living. But we also trust that any miscarriages of justice will be made right when God the judge takes the bench. But when that time comes, what will the judge say about me? That's the question. What will the judge say about you? We will all fall under his eye, and he is just. It's an appointment we cannot skip out on, and it's a fearful thing to fall under the hands of the living God, and he won't be asking about what we think of others. Our hope is to hide ourselves in the mercy, love, and justice of the cross. Only then can we withstand that day. So, basic truths. We're all made in the image of God. We're all naturally distant from God. We're all going to die, but we can all be redeemed, and God will judge the world. These are good foundation points to remember. They are commonalities from which we can all communicate and seek mutual understanding and respect. I think they are big starting blocks for days like these.